A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Well, Neil Tracy is with us as the Six Nations resumes, both men and women's this weekend. The men have a chance, Neil, of, you know, winning the whole thing outright if they win both games with bonus points.
Yeah, hi guys. Morning. It is probably something that we probably got lost, I suppose, over the last few months, that on that last Sunday before things went a bit all messed up on the 1st of March, that Sunday 1st of March, you know, Scotland absolutely stunned France at Murrayfield, and all of a sudden that put Ireland back in the picture for the Six Nations Championship, despite the fact that they wouldn't have, despite the fact that, you know, they'd been beaten so comfortably by England a couple of weeks earlier. And all of a sudden, that win for Scotland against France put them right back into it. Two bonus point wins would be enough for Ireland. Granted, one of those bonus point wins would have to be in Paris against France. But look, the first part of that comes this weekend against Italy. And, you know, it's a game that Ireland would fancy themselves, that would give themselves every chance of picking up that bonus point win in.
Yeah, let's forget about the second bonus point win in Paris for now. Let's just dine out for a little while and dream about the possibilities. You know, there is definitely an optimistic reading of the game that Ireland played against England, where there was the horrific bounce in the dead ball area that scundered Johnny Sexton early on. That was one of the tries that England scored. There was another one, I can't remember, there was a mistake made that, you know, wouldn't happen. Yeah, say again?
Jacob Stockdale made the mistake. Yeah. Let the ball slip by him in the in-goal area.
Yeah, I mean, these things wouldn't normally happen. And you take those 14 points off and suddenly it's a much closer game. Neil, that's how I'm reading it. You know, that's Not for us, the notion that England just completely annihilated us physically at will, played with us like a toy mouse with a really horrible tabby cat.
Yeah, but that is the thing, and that is what was actually kind of quite interesting about that game, is because, like, you know, you sarcastically mentioned the fact that England didn't, you know, toy around with us for 80 minutes. Obviously they did, but despite all that, it was two just simple mistakes that actually led to the points being put on the board for the English victory. And that is a strange one. It's probably one of those games as well where, you know, like, those things might not necessarily have happened on another day, but, you know, England's actual dominance might have shown. But it probably puts Ireland in a position where they probably weren't as bad, or they probably aren't as bad as they looked that day, because, you know, they somehow managed to stay in it. And I think we'll probably get to it now in a couple of minutes, but there's plenty of interesting things to see this weekend in terms of selection, a lot of it which was forced upon Andy Farrell with injury and suspension. But I think also as well the fact that if ever there was a game, like, Italy is the perfect game to actually get back into the run of things on a test level for Andy Farrell after such a long wait. Like, they're an opposition that we know very well we would be comfortable beating. And, you know, at the same time, they provide a huge physical challenge every time, but one that ultimately you are expecting to get past.
Tell us about the team then. A bit of a surprise?
I suppose one or two places. Like, I think looking at the back row, you were, like, it's so tough to pick the back row, and it was Will Connors who got the 7 selection. I think I'm happy enough to see CJ Stander starting in there. Like, I think a lot of people were expecting CJ Stander and Quaylen Doris at 6 or 8. It was just figuring out, was Stander going to be 6? Was Doris going, you know, was Doris going to be 6 or was Doris going to be 8? I think Stander has looked absolutely brilliant since the return of rugby in August for Munster. I think he looks, to me anyway, he looks like he's lost a little bit of weight. He just looks a bit lighter on his feet around the pitch, and he just seems to be kind of getting down, getting in over the ball in that jackal position a little bit quicker than maybe he used to be. So I think he's well deserving of his place. And Quaylen Doris has just been absolutely outstanding for the last 12 months. And you still have the likes of, you know, Peter O'Mahony on the bench as an option then at 6. And then, like, it is incredible that I'm sure 12 months ago, if Josh van der Fleer wasn't around for an international game of rugby, we would have been talking about how big a blow it was that someone like van der Fleer wasn't going to be available. And here we are in a situation now where he can't make the match day 23 because all of a sudden you have someone like Will Connors, who has just come from nowhere in the last 12 months and has been put in there. I think Connors has been put in there in large parts because one thing is they do have is that they do have a lot of good, strong carriers, particularly in their forwards. I'm thinking the likes of Jake Pelledri, for one, the Gloucester flanker. And I think Will Connors, he's just so good defensively, as is van der Fleer, I suppose, as well. But Connors, just he seems to have mastered that chop tackle that I think Dan Lydiot would have made famous at the start of the last decade. And it's going to be really interesting to see him. And then I suppose in the back line, we were probably trying to figure out with Jordan Larmour and Will Allison out what way was fullback going to go. And interesting that Andy Farrell has given Hugo Keane in the run, but not at fullback, but at wing. And he's put Jacob Stockdale back to 15, where he's been getting a bit of a run for Ulster. I think it's a bold move with the form Stockdale was in for the last few months, when he really did look like he was struggling pre-lockdown and then at times post-lockdown. Now, I know he got a good run out in the Pro 14 and looked a lot sharper the last time out, but he needs a big game, I think, personally.
Yeah, and well, I think if you're Andy Farrell, you're like desperately trying to get him back to that stage and saying, this is your safe space, Jacob. This is where you're one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, and it's where the bit of man management comes in, where, you know, are you thinking to yourself, does this player, like, I remember after the Champions Cup game against Ulster, speaking on video with Bernard Jackman about this and asking him, like, you know, what do you do as a coach here? Is this the time to put your arm on the shoulder and say, you know what, you're going to play yourself out of this, we're going to give you all the support you need? Or is it actually the time to drop him and to say, look, you know, you just haven't been up to it, and, you know, you need a bit of time away, and you're going to force your way back into this team eventually, but for now, you just need a bit of time away. And Andy Farrell has obviously gone with the support approach, where he's allowing himself to play himself back into form. Maybe partly it's because it was injury enforced, and, you know, possibly if Andy Farrell was missing all of these, you know, frontline or squad players as well, like Jordan Larmour and those lads, if he was to leave out Jacob Stockdale, would that just be an even bigger blow? The fact that he'd be looking so far down the pecking order. What I am interested to see, though, is just Hugo Keenan. He's someone who, like, slowly but surely was just getting a little bit of a run for Leinster. And it's kind of funny just that up until the lockdown, when he started getting a run on the wing, he always would have been playing at 15, pretty much up until the lockdown as well. Jake Stockdale would have been playing on the wing, and here they are now swapping jerseys in 15 and 11.
Is it back to the old question of defence then, that Stockdale is a little bit more insulated at 15 than Keenan would be? Or Keenan needs to be, I should say?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really know what way that one is going to go, to be totally honest. Like, Keenan just looks to be incredibly solid. I don't think he's shown anything spectacular over his early career with Leinster. Like, we just know he seems to be very capable all round. Has been very, very good under high balls. Has been very, I think, defensively sound as well. There just seems to be this hope that, you know, allowing Stockdale that little bit of extra space to roam as a fullback and almost kind of pick his lines, maybe, that you're giving him a better option. Personally, I actually think Stockdale is better out on the left wing as well, because he's just incredibly dangerous when he gets into those one-on-one situations with an opponent, with an opposing winger. And, like, we've all seen how good he is with that little chip kick over the top, and just judging the grubber of it. I don't know. Personally, for me, I think he's a better player on the wing. I don't think I've seen enough of Hugo Keenan either at wing or fullback. Like, he's still in quite the early stage of his career to make a call on him either way.
Is it your instinct, and this is the last question for you, is this your instinct that this is actually the team that's also going to start barring injuries for the game in Paris, or has he picked two separate teams?
That's a tricky one. I'd say backline it probably is, would be my guess. Unless Conor Murray has an absolute howler or something like that, and, you know, Jameson Gibson-Park gets a start. I think for the most part, that looks like what would be a first choice backline at the moment. I think in the forwards, particularly in the back row, you can kind of make a case for anyone, really. Like, you can make a case for Jack Conan on any day. You can make a case for Josh van der Vleer on any day as well. You can make a case for Peter O'Mahony to come in. And I think the back row specifically might just go down to be a bit more of a horses for courses situation as the week goes on or as the games come on, because I think they just have that luxury of, they have such a stockpile of good players in the back row, they can make that choice. Second row, James Ryan, Tadhg Byrne, while Ian Henderson is out, probably is the first choice second row. And then in the front row, they are relatively light at the moment. Like, you know, it's Keane Healy, Rob Herring and Andrew Porter. You look at the bench, Ed Byrne coming in. Huge day for Ed Byrne, by the way, because with those career-threatening injuries he had a few years ago. And then Finlay Beelam, who hasn't played too much international rugby over the few years that he's been involved, only 9 caps. And then looking at Sub Hooker as well.
Yeah.
With Dave Heffernan. So I think for the most part, it is a first choice 15. Maybe the back row might just be a bit of a game day selection.
All right, Neil, great stuff. Thanks a million for giving us your thoughts on that. Neil Tracy, you can get more from him on otbsports.com.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network, with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.